right. Very good. Thank you for sharing your requests and things. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles. Our Sunday school lesson today will be from Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. We've been looking at the prayer of Daniel for the restoration of the nation of Israel as we've been walking through the book of Daniel. Yes. Oh, well, wonderful. Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing that. That is very exciting. So, yeah, that's... Any good news like that is worth sharing. Thank you. So we're in what we've kind of looked at from Daniel's prayer is that several key themes were emphasized. One is he did not hold back in condemning sin. He condemned the sin of his people thoroughly from start to finish. And he worked his way through that every part, and he kept coming back to it. And he references the judgment and the consequences that came upon them for that sin. And never one time did he look at God and say, this was too much. You went overboard, even though he was the one who experienced the captivity. Years and years, five generations before him had sinned and sinned, and yet he experienced it. And yet he said, God, you are just. You did exactly what you said you would do. And he says, God, you are righteous. We are sinful. And if we're going to pray and intercede towards the Lord, I believe personally or on a family level or a national level, whichever who we're going to intercede for, we have to come to that place. We recognize who we are before God as sinners. And God and everything he has done is right and good. And now we're able to have that relationship set up right. Now we can start asking for the things because we'll have the right spirit. Now he begins to petition. We looked at this last week. He calls upon God to restore God, the people of God. But he does call attention to God's forgiveness and his mercy, but that is not the main thing that he bases his prayer on. He based his prayer on the righteousness of God. The very thing that had brought them to condemnation, had called for their judgment, was the very thing that was going to deliver them in the character of God. Because, and it's just a beautiful truth, that really is how the Lord works for us. We are justified. We are declared righteous. And so it's the righteousness of God that calls out for our salvation. And so it's a beautiful picture and how Daniel prays for God's righteousness, that he would keep his promise. And so let's start here in verse 16. We're going to be looking through verse 19 at this really climax to the prayer. He says, O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because of our sins and for the iniquity of our fathers. Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplication, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes and behold our desolations, the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. You know, it's interesting. He begins to get into a fervor pitch. He begins to call upon God to move and to act. And as my reading, I tried to emphasize something that might stand out for us. How many times he uses the word thy. It's for you, Lord. God, the reason why you're going to look at this downtrodden people, this people that were rebellious, whom you called a stubborn and stiff-necked people, who were ever rebellious and always turning. And if we doubt that, go back and read Psalm 78. It's just like God does something good and then they do something bad. And God does something good and they do something bad. And it's just constant back and forth and back and forth. And it kind of summarizes the feeling you get when you read the Old Testament. They are just up and down and up and down. And God is gracious, but they are sinful. And yet the reason why God's going to do this is because it's His city. And it's His people. He has attached them to Himself. And because, and there's an aspect of you maybe take an illustration of a truck and a trailer. It's a nice, beautiful truck, and it's a beat-up trailer. And yet, because the trailer's attached to the truck, God's going to bring them through. And He's going to work and act on behalf of them because they are His. And that's part of the beauty of what it means for us to be in Christ Jesus. It means God's going to act towards me because I am His Son. He has placed me in the very standing of Jesus Christ Himself, so that God's outflowing of His love towards me is the very same as it's been for all of eternity for His Son and what it will always be. And so the great encouragement here is, we see that, I love this, not for any righteousness that we've done. Oh, Lord, make this real clear. It's because of You and Your mercy and Your faithfulness and Your love that we call out to You. It's kind of like the songwriter who says, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to Thy cross I cling." It's because of what You've done that I can pray. You know, that's the first prayer God hears. God, I've got nothing. I can't add anything to my salvation. I can't be good enough. I can't save myself. I just recognize how sinful I am, and I ask You to save me. And that's the spirit of every prayer that God hears and answers. When we recognize, God, I can't do anything to make You hear and listen to me, but because of what You've done, and because I'm praying based on Your will and Your purposes. Does this make sense for us as we pray for our nation and for our people, for our family members and for our children? We have to make sure that when we pray, it's not about me. Daniel didn't say, "Man, I'm sick and tired of being in Babylon. I'm sick and tired of Babylon food. I'm sick and tired of this over here and this captivity. And I sure wish You would fulfill Your promise so I can get out of here." That wasn't His purpose at all. His purpose was focused upon the Lord, His glory, His people. And He says, "We're a reproach against You. Because we have Your name. We're like a big banner. This is the Lord's team over here." And their helmets are all scarred up and they can't even get 5 yards. And you know, their team is pathetic. And yet they've got the Lord's name on their backs. He's saying, "We're a reproach. Would You please lift us up? Would You please deliver us?" And I love how He begins to call. You know He's standing on praying ground. I don't know if that expression means a whole lot to you, but if you ever get to that place where you know God's listening, you know that you're praying because God's Spirit is on you. You know that the motivation behind your prayer is for the glory of God, and you're praying on the basis of Jesus' name alone, and you're praying for what God wants to do. God's wanting you to pray for it, and you're just simply the conduit to see God's work being done. And you begin to call out with a holy boldness, and you begin to be able to speak to God in a tone that you would not be worthy in any other way except for His grace being underneath you. How He responds to God in the imperative mood. He's commanding God, "Listen!" Not only that, He commands God to forgive. The very nature of forgiveness is, we messed up. You are being gracious to us. You can never really command forgiveness. And yet, He's calling out because He knows God wants to forgive. And He's going to forgive. Then He tells him, "Don't delay, act, do something, God." How many of us here have something in our hearts that we are deeply burdened for, deeply desire God to do something about, and we're not just saying, okay, God, I'm really burdened about this, but we actually really want God to do something, to intervene, and it's time sensitive. We need God to act now. Here he calls out for God with holy boldness, defer not. Don't put it off. And you know why he's able to pray that? Because God had already promised 70 years for the captivity. The timing was already revealed by God. And so he was just standing on God's promises, calling out for God to do what he already said. And when you're standing on that place, you can have that kind of confidence. And so God's not insulted by the demands of his servants. When they ask for his glory in his will, based on his word. No, God delights in such holy boldness because that evidences faith in what he has already revealed. And that's what we need. Sometimes our prayers are weak because we are weak in faith. When we truly believe what God can and will do through us as we pray, our prayers become strong. They become bold, and we speak to Almighty God on the basis of his grace. But I want to encourage us with one other thing before we go, and that is the answer. Verse 20 says, "And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God, for the holy mountain of my God. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I'd seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation." God sends his angel to answer this prayer from Daniel, and he makes it a point to let us know while he was still praying. He hadn't even gotten up from his prayer time, and God was already answering the prayer. You might say, well, that was a unique situation for Daniel. But actually, Jeremiah says, while you call upon me, before you call, I will answer. Go to Daniel chapter 10. We find that the answer delayed 21 days, and yet the angel tells him and says, I was coming from the first day that you began to pray. We think that, well, maybe God will do something. Maybe God will answer. No, God begins to answer, yea, before we pray. As he moves upon us and calls us to pray for the very things that he is wanting to accomplish in our lives. You know what, if this tells us multiple things, but three things I want to highlight. Well, because God answered Daniel while he was praying, it places a massive exclamation point of approval behind this prayer. This is the prayer that God hears. This is the prayer that God answers. And as soon as he began to pray, God's angel was swiftly flying to answer and meet this need. But you know, it's interesting. He's asking for God to send Israel back so that they could go back from captivity after 70 years. This messenger is not coming to tell them about the return of the people after 70 years. He's actually coming to tell them about the fulfillment of everything Daniel has prayed for at the end of time. Because Daniel is over here, he's praying for the 70 years. Oh God, please answer this promise. Please fulfill your word. Please restore your people. They're desolate and this city. And God says, he doesn't even focus on that. Oh yeah, that's going to happen. But the benefit is, look at the city and look at your people at the end. Because of your prayer, I am going to fulfill this in the largest possible sense. So that your people, when they're done, when the answer comes to the end of this prayer, is they will never sin against God again. The city will never be desolate ever again. God answers with the complete restoration, not a temporary restoration. Doesn't that remind us of Ephesians chapter 3? Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that ye ask or think. That too tells us that God wants to answer prayer. He'll take your small little prayer and he'll answer it in a way that you never thought. I'd encourage you, as you begin to pray for our country over these next few days, and I encourage you to do so fervently. January 6th, an important day for God's mercy. You know what? No matter what takes place over the next month, God's still going to answer your prayers for this country. He may answer them in a bigger way, in a greater way than you're expecting. What's coming in this next year may be the answer to all of our prayers that we've been praying for some time. And we just don't know it. We just can't see it yet. And so we have to keep, when you pray, just believe and trust God, because he's working. So we see the immediacy of God, God's answer to prayer. Not only does it approve Daniel's prayer, but it demonstrates God's heart to answer prayer. And so God wants to answer us. That's why he tells us over and over again, ask. He commands us, just like on the road, as he's passing by, he says, what would you have me to do for you? The man's blind. Did Jesus not know his need? Yes, he knew his need. But if he would ask and he would say, God, this is what I need, and recognizing the need, by God answering the prayer, he demonstrates his power and ability to interact with that man and responding to his request. God wants you and I to express our needs to him so that when he answers, you and I will know that it was he who did it. And we will be ready to praise and glorify him. That's why sometimes God allows needs to go on and on so that we'll pray and beg him. And sometimes he's not waiting for a one-time prayer. He's wanting a sustained, enduring, pursuing of God type prayer before he answers. He's doing something wonderful in our lives. And it's interesting, the reason is for God sending his angel is actually stated in the text. He says in verse 22, and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplication, I didn't read that part, but at the very beginning, when he started to pray, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. God answers our prayer because he loves you and me. So when we get down on our knees, don't let Satan, that old accuser of the brethren, get you sidetracked with your sinfulness and your unworthiness and all the reasons why God should not love you. Confess them, get them cleared with, submit to what God wants to do, but know that God is going to answer your prayer because you are in the Beloved One and you are beloved of God. So let's pray to God and ask him to do something wonderful in our life. It might be the salvation of a loved one. It might be the restoration of a broken relationship. It might be the mercy of God upon our country. It might be the revival of his people. It might be the salvation of our children. But let's pray knowing that from the beginning of our supplication, when we come with this attitude of submitting to the will of God, understanding his word and our sinfulness before him, that we can receive forgiveness. And that we can receive of the Lord's hand all that we ask of him. Because he certainly says, from the mouth of Jesus Christ, ask and you shall receive. Let's rise up and pray like Daniel. Because God's looking for somebody to stand in the gap, to make up the hedge, and make a difference in those around us. Let's pray. Dear Father, we ask you, Lord, for your blessing. Would you not raise up one or two prayers on a Sunday? Lord, would you raise up 50 or 60 prayer warriors throughout the week. Lord, may we call down your blessing, call down your forgiveness, call down your mercy. And Lord, may we be blessed because we have you as our God. We pray it in Jesus' name.
Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see everyone in the house of the Lord this morning. I hope you all had a great Christmas. Praise the Lord for Christ sending his, or for God sending his Son. Let's all stand as we start off this morning. We'll recite our theme verse together. Let's all say it together. Luke 2:10 and 11.